Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Profit Boss, if you are stuck in a 9-to-5 or a career that you do not love, if you're worried about going out on your own and starting a business and thinking that it can't work for you, today's show is for you. I am so excited to introduce Caitlin Pyle. Caitlin is a 29-year-old millennial entrepreneur. She works entirely online. She built a 7-figure blog and business in one of the tiniest niches on earth, proofreading. She's based in Orlando, Florida, where she lives with her husband of 5 years, and she and he just returned from a year-long travel adventure through South America. Caitlin is going to describe to you how the unlikely circumstance of being fired horribly from a job led her to discover that what was her side hustle could become a full-time career where she could work from anywhere, and then how she followed the opportunities to first become a trainer of other proofreaders. So she was charging for that. And now she's learned that she understands how to market online courses. So she's expanding herself to do even that. And in just 18 months, she and her husband have discovered that they can see financial freedom on the horizon, that the income has become that high. And her skill set is becoming so proficient in the area of money that she feels they can get to their financial freedom number in just a few years. You're going to love Caitlin's stories and philosophies, and I hope you really enjoy today's show. Now, you do need to know that Caitlin talks a little bit in the show about her own investment strategies. As always, don't take anything you hear on this show as customized investment advice. That can't happen on Profit Boss Radio. It can, however, happen if you reach out for a strategy session with me at info@hillaryhendershot.com. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Caitlin. Welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Hi, Hillary. Thanks for having me.
Caitlin, would you tell us a little bit about how you grew up and how you got started in your first career?
Yeah. So I grew up in Orlando. I was kind of just a nerd. I went to school in Orlando, stayed in college for college. I was in Europe for a year, just taking some classes, traveling around, but definitely an Orlando girl, straight A student, super nerd. And I got my first job in the corporate world about 3 months before I graduated. I was making $12 an hour as a receptionist with my communication degree, or almost communication degree. Moved up the ranks there from receptionist over to the transcript production department. I was working with a court reporting firm. And so that's where I first learned about transcripts, which you'll learn in a minute here is what I do now, essentially, is working with transcripts and proofreading. And I ended up being the marketing manager. Ironically, I knew nothing about marketing, but I knew more than the boss lady. So she thought I knew a lot, kind of thing. And so I ended up being marketing manager after starting as a receptionist 18 months prior. And then I got fired. I wanted to leave. I already put in my notice, and it's a really long story, so I won't get too much into it. But basically, it was a very unprofessional workplace, and I don't want to reveal any names or anything like that. But I was fired really unprofessionally, where, you know, they kind of sat me down in a room and said I was trash and I was, you know, a piece of garbage. And this is a woman that was old enough to be my mother saying these things to me. And, you know, I had made mistakes at, you know, age 24. You make mistakes and you should quit a job instead of, you know, just dinking around on the clock. And that's basically what I was doing, despite doing all my work. You know, I would come in 9 to noon or 8 to 11 or whatever the schedule was. And I would do all my work in like 3 hours. And then I would just blow right through it. I'd do a great job. You know, I just work really fast, and they were not happy with that. So they fired me, even though my productivity was higher than the whole office. But I was happy, you know, it was shocking the way they did it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying these things to me, and you could be my mom. Like, wow. But I was happy to be out of there. I felt free. I knew it was a little bit scary, but
yeah, it sounds like they kind of did you a favor.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying those awful things to you. No, by no means do I mean that, but it's like, sounds like this wasn't the place for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I did, you know, have to make some you know, in between times, I went to personal training school. I had a couple of clients that I got when I was working there as a proofreader, kind of on the side. I was making probably $400 to $500 a month on the side. I didn't know that was like called a side hustle. I didn't realize that that's what it was. And I didn't know I could do it full time either. If I'd known that sooner, I would have quit the job, you know, instead of letting myself get fired. Everybody teaches you how to get a job and not how to quit one. And so it was a little difficult for me.
So you were already making kind of $400 or $500 a month on the side.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was doing transcriptions.
Exactly.
Can you tell us what that is?
So I wasn't doing the actual transcriptions, but I was taking the transcripts and proofreading them. So a court reporter would actually create the transcriptions and then they give it to me and I would go and read through and look for mistakes, which was actually really fun for me being the nerd that I was. And yeah, I mean, I thought it's not easy work. And so that's probably why I thought that I couldn't do it full time, because I was like, man, I don't think I could do this all day, every day. But it's just because my method was really archaic. You know, I'd print it out, I'd read it on the computer and like have to write a list of the mistakes on it. And I eventually learned how to do it all on my iPad, which was awesome. And that made me go a lot faster. You could use the technology to be more efficient. And I was able to build my freelance proofreading business up to between $3,000 and $5,000 a month from $300 to $500. So that was my full-time income. Well, it was part-time hours, but it was definitely a full-time income, more than I was making doing a 40-hour a week job plus commute time. And so I thought that was what I was going to be doing until I was like 80 years old, like doing proofreading, you know. But then I noticed that people had been asking me, you know, how do you do this? And they wanted to work from home. They worked in an office and they're like, well, I like to proofread. You know, I find errors everywhere. Can you teach me? And so I would teach some people and they would either take it and run with it and make, you know, money on the side, just like I was, or they would just like learn from me, but then just like blow me off. Like they just wouldn't do anything with it. So I wasted like half a day or 2 days or however long it took me to teach them one-on-one for nothing. They were just like, oh, like they just did not value the time that I spent at all. Didn't do anything. And so my husband was like, well, maybe you should write an ebook or something and sell it. That way you still make money whether you do anything or not. And so eventually I did. I wrote an ebook and the ebook was horrible. I didn't know that at the time, but you know, you have to get that minimum viable product out there and allow people to give you feedback before you know, what kind of stuff you need to be putting in the course. So that's what it became, was a course eventually. Within about 4 or 5 months of writing the ebook, it was a course, and it has grown ever since. I've pretty much making changes on it every day or every other day. It seems like, you know, some things need to get changed so it's more streamlined, and we've expanded a lot and the price has gone up a lot since we first launched, but we're just rolling with it. You know, we are over $1.2 million in revenue in just a year and a half. So we're doing good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I can tell you're a lady who moves quickly, but I want to back up. So I want to, because I know there's women listening who A, would really love a side hustle in their life, but have no idea where to start, or B, really hate their work. And there's nothing wrong with loving your 9-to-5, but some people don't and could really use a glimmer of hope as to what could they do if their college degree and current training doesn't necessarily qualify them for anything that they know about. So can we back up to the point at which you transitioned into being a full-time transcription proofreader? So what's the moment when you knew this was going to be your full-time thing?
You know, I kind of look back and I say to myself or and to people who ask, you know, I accidentally became a proofreader because I didn't know that I was going to end up doing it as my primary income. I just got one client, which turned into two, which turned into four, which turned into eight, and then eventually had like between 20 and 30 people that I was proofreading for every month. And I just took it on if I had the time or knew I could get it done by the deadline. And I just kept saying yes. And when I could say yes, you know.
So is it a by referral kind of a thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you didn't have to do sales.
Right. No, I didn't have to. I mean, you have to do a little bit of marketing where, you know, you can make contact with the right people. But if you do a good job for those first 1, 2, 3 people, they will refer their friends or they'll send you to their agency that they work for, which there's a ton of clients through there as well.
Okay. And your income as a full-time proofreader, I imagine it exceeded the income you were making at your job.
Oh yeah, definitely. By at least $10,000 a year.
So then how did you price your first ebook?
I just kind of like made up a number. I'm like, what would I like to be paid for this? And I really underpriced it. I priced the book itself at like $65. And then I had it paired together. There was an option to buy just the book, or you could pair it together with a full, what I call the full training, which is like laughable now in comparison to what the course includes. It was like one practice transcript with an answer key, and then you get to send me your practice transcript before I send you the answer key, so I look it over and give you feedback on it. And that whole thing together was like $150, which was just, I laugh at that because I was spending so much time helping these students one-on-one that I was making like way, like pennies a day for the time that I was spending. But in retrospect, it was not a bad thing because all the questions they asked, they gave me the roadmap for what I needed to include in the course to make it, you know, more passive instead of, you know, actively teaching everyone the same thing, you know, on a one-on-one level over and over again.
So was your success, was it surprising to you?
Yeah, it was, you know, because I battled with a lot of limiting beliefs, you know, having gotten fired so horribly, the words hurt, you know, and so I spent a good chunk of time, a month or so, just thinking, what if they're right? You know, what if I really don't have any talent? What if I, you know, really can't do this, or I'll never amount to anything, or they said I would die alone, believe it or not. And so I went through kind of like a depression a little bit where I was like, what if they're right? You know, and it really did affect me, even though I didn't write the ebook until, gosh, it was like over 2 years or no, it was 3 years. It was over 3 years after I got fired that I actually wrote the ebook. And so even at that time, like, I was still having some nightmares on occasion, like maybe once a year now I have them, but.
Oh my gosh, I'm completely reeling. I can't even believe it that these people are out there. This is horrible.
I know, yeah. So I had to deal with that. And I think, you know, other things in my past, but specifically that, I think were kind of holding me back mentally, where I was like, yeah, okay, I'll start this blog and I'll put this product out there, but nobody's going to buy it, you know, and I sold one or two. And I'm like, well, that's probably it. That's probably the only two people that are ever going to find me. And like, I just did not believe in myself, but.
And guess what? I am going to die alone.
Yeah. You know, it was really silly looking back now. Like I was a completely different person a year and a half ago when we first launched, like we bought the website on November 1st of 2014. And here we are like a year and a half, a year and 7 months, 8 months later. And I don't know who that person is anymore. You know, I definitely look back and I'm surprised that I didn't quit, to be honest, because like it just seems like I was so down on myself, or I felt really confident about my ability to proofread transcripts. And so I knew that I had that to fall back on if it didn't work out. But I definitely didn't think I'd ever be able to quit proofreading, which I did 5 months later.
So which of your traits do you think were really critical to your success? To what do you credit it? I mean, some women would have just walked away, right? Like some people really shy away from their fears. So what makes you different?
Well, that's a good question, Hillary. I think I've always really liked writing and communicating in writing. And so it wasn't, you know, any specific thing that I was, I don't know how to put this. I really liked just communicating with people. And I know that some people have a hard time putting it in writing, and I'm not great at public speaking or even doing interviews like this. You know, I lose my train of thought sometimes, but I'm really good at writing and communicating compellingly with words. So blog posts, it might take me all day, but that thing will be awesome by the time I'm done with it, you know? So not everybody's good at that. And so they'll write something and it's just not compelling, or they write all the wrong things. I was actually like that too. When I started writing, I was like, you know, this is just like worst blog post ever. And I actually deleted a lot of my first ones because they're just so bad. But I think what made it different for me is that I didn't give up. You know, I figured out how to write better blog posts and read other people's blog posts where I saw, you know, it was how other people were doing it and what I liked about their blog posts, and started incorporating those things bit by bit into my own posts. And then they just got better and better and better.
So it sounds like your willingness to seek out, we'll call it coaching,
yeah,
or feedback, and to improve and to like to be persistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really interesting because I just recently aired an interview with the bestselling author of the book Grit to Great. Her name is Robin Koval. And so they talk a lot about the traits of someone with grit and how natural talent almost never leads to success. So I think this is a great example of that. I mean, I'm not trying to say you're not naturally talented. You're obviously a naturally talented writer. I read some of the things you wrote. But what we're talking about really is the willingness to start at the bottom and work your way up and work your way in.
Yeah.
So, and you had a six-figure blog within 3 months. Is that revenue coming from the sales of your information product, or were you also doing advertising?
It was solely from selling the online course and proofreading transcripts. Yeah. Within 3 months, we'd hit 100,000.
And this is, it sounds like you kind of happened upon a very niche market. I mean, a lot of the advice out there is find your niche, find your avatar. And it seems like you just kind of stumbled into it. Do you think that contributed to your success?
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of funny because I look back and I thought to myself, you know, nobody's going to want to learn how to proofread transcripts. Well, it turns out there are a lot of people that want to learn how to proofread transcripts. You know, not, I'm not talking millions, but, you know, a good couple thousand people that really like finding errors, that just think it's hilarious to find a street sign with a mistake on it. And I'm one of those people. And I just thought I was alone, you know, and now I have this whole little tribe that they just love it. And I feel at home in my own skin more than ever now. But yeah, just you can't assume that your own little social circle. I mean, nobody likes to find errors as much as I do in my own like small social circle locally, but globally now I've got tons of friends and they all love finding mistakes. And so I don't feel alone anymore.
That's hilarious. So how much can you make as a transcript proofreader?
So my students usually start out around $15 to $20 per hour, but they can actually move up into the $40, $50, and $60 range per hour, depending on what software they're using, how dense the transcript is, how much they're charging per page, things like that. So, you know, you could have a really dense hearing transcript that you're charging 50 cents a page for, and it takes you, you know, 2 or 3 minutes per page. And so your hourly rate will go down, but you could also have a really easy transcript that's just workers' comp. Really easy questions, you know, what color were you wearing that day? And you said red, and it's just really easy to read. And that might be a 40 cent per page transcript. So you end up making more per hour on the easy job than the harder one that you get paid more per page for. So it depends on a lot of factors.
And you can do it from anywhere.
Yeah, I just use your iPad and we teach tutorials about how to use the software. And it's a little bit of a learning curve. And I definitely wanted to throw my iPad out the window when I first started doing it on iPad. When I got the hang of it and I saw the different tools that made the work just so much easier and faster, I was like, this is a game changer. So,
well, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know Profit Boss Radio is a podcast where women can expect to earn more money because they listen. But I feel like right now we are kind of giving the audience something on a silver platter. So there you go. If you're looking for a skill set where you can earn up to $50 or $60 an hour and work from anywhere, Caitlin is your woman. And we'll put in the show notes how you can get in touch with Caitlin. But if you're interested, just go to HillaryHendershot.com/37. So I do want to ask a question because your business is on a sharp uptick in terms of revenue, probably in terms of profits. You're taking on new revenue streams. It says you got to total business revenue of $1 million in 15 months. Is that all checks to you, or is that to your business partners? Or
that was all me. Yeah. Just in the different, and my husband as well, just in the different avenues that have opened up to us. In addition to the Proofread Anywhere blog, we now work with other clients, but that figure is our share. So
that is awesome. And what does it take to let the success in? I mean, is it hard for you to accept that the numbers have gotten that big?
Yeah, actually, just because we spent so much time, you know, not scraping by, but just really being aware that we didn't have all the money in the world, but and now we still don't, but we have a lot more than we did before. And it's just kind of, it feels wrong to spend it all. So we're not spending it all at all. You know, we don't drive a Tesla, even though that'd be awesome. We have a Hyundai hatchback and we love it. And we live in a one bedroom apartment. And it's just, what I've realized is that more doesn't make you happier. I'm still the same person I was. I am a lot smarter now than I was a year and a half ago, but the money is not going to make me any happier. And so I'm just learning to spend wisely still the way I was before. And you know, you're always, if you keep spending and buying more stuff and doing more things and just, you know, increasing your income or spending along with your income, then you're always going to keep going back to that level of happiness anyway. It's like they call it hedonistic adaptation, where, you know, you're always going to have this baseline of happiness and it'll spike with new stuff or new whatever, but then you always go back to that baseline. And so I'm trying to kind of hack into, you know, what's going to actually make me happier. And so I bought a bike instead of a second car and we got back from South America. And, you know, it actually makes me happier to ride a bike around town than it does like spending $40,000 on one of those new Teslas that are coming out next year, you know? And so it's just, how can I be happier without spending a ton of money? I get a high off of that.
That's awesome. And what else are you doing to ensure your own financial success, to make sure that the income isn't fleeting?
Yeah. So we started looking into investing quite a bit this year. And what I've really learned is that your money can work harder than you can. And I read a blog once where the blogger described each dollar is like a little green employee. And so every time you spend money on something you don't really need, it's not going to really increase your standard of living or your, you know, your quality of life, your happiness. Yeah. Then you're just basically just firing those employees, you know, you're sending them home. And whereas if you keep them invested, and we're investing in stock index funds using, you know, apps like Betterment, and, you know, we're tracking everything on Personal Capital, and there's a lot of great technology out there. And we're putting all those little employees to work instead, and they just tirelessly duplicate themselves. And so instead of spending all this money that we're earning, we're putting it into long-term investing and stock index funds to let it multiply itself passively. And that would mean, you know, if our business tanked or we just decided we didn't want to work anymore, I think we'll actually be able to retire within 2 or 3 years if we start investing now versus, you know, trying to ride this income wave for the next three, four decades. Like, you don't have to work till you're 65. We don't have to have this earning level for the next 40 years to retire well. And so we're just being really smart with it now instead of, you know, it's a good thing to bet on yourself where you're like, yeah, you know, I'm really smart, I'll be able to keep this income going. But isn't it nice to have the choice? And so we want to just be, you know, really smart with the money now. So in a few years, our investments will be making enough money that if we want to quit, or if we're forced to quit for whatever reason, then we can and we'll be fine. So
yeah, I mean, I think so many people get locked into the thinking that they have to slave away or toil away for 30 or 35 years mm-hmm. and kind of scrimp and save to save just a couple dollars every month so that they can maybe get to their retirement number by the time they want to stop working, which for most people is like always, that they don't realize that you can actually create a life where you can have super high income for a few years, work your tail off, and then have the choice to stop.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to do. So,
I mean, honestly, though, from the way you talk and how engaged I can tell you are and how excited you get to talk about what you're doing, I wouldn't be surprised if you decided to stay active, but you'll have to keep us updated.
Yes. Yeah, I know that I will keep working, and I do really like it, but I've been able to delegate more, and I have an assistant that pretty much can do whatever I can do. And so I have cut back in terms of how much work I actually do myself. So I'll work like 2 to 3 hours a day and then just make sure everything's running smoothly and the balls are rolling, even if I'm not the one that's pushing it along, and just kind of overseeing everything more of like a founder role instead of just being neck deep in it all the time. And my stress level has gone way down and my happiness level has gone way up, and I just have more time for myself. And I think I'll just continue doing that and just being that manager kind of founder level. But yeah, I can still earn income without being completely swamped all the time, which for 9-10 months of this whole business so far, it was all me and it was exhausting. It was exhausting.
So you sent to me before our interview, you sent me this mindset transformation ebook. And I thought to myself, why did this woman write this? And I think it's because you started to coach people to get into doing their own, having their own business or a side hustle, and you realized that fear stops them. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That book, The Mindset Mastery Guide, actually started out as some blog posts, which we then expanded on and turned it into a book. But probably the one of the most common things that I get in my email every day is, I really think you have a great product here. It's not that I doubt you. I doubt myself. And I'm scared that I'm going to spend this money and I'm not going to be able to find clients. Everybody is so afraid of getting clients. And so we kind of put together the Mindset Mastery material to help people just realize that they're the ones in charge of their success. And the only way they can really fail is if they give up, and if they never get started to begin with. And that confidence will blossom once they have to kind of cultivate the excellence first. And so I started gently telling people, I'm like, you know, you're really scared because you don't know what you're doing yet. Once you know what you're doing, then that confidence is going to be there and it's going to grow the more you do it. And, but you don't have any experience. You have no idea how to proofread a transcript. You know, you don't know what it's like to work in this industry yet. That's why we created the course. And it's just helped a lot of people really see what was holding them back is not, you know, the price of the course. It's not, you know, any external thing. It's something internal. And so we've been able to help people move forward a lot with that. And so we don't blog just about proofreading over on Proofread Anywhere, but we blog about, you know, real life stuff that happens, especially a lot with women. And I've dealt with a lot myself. You know, it's like, it wasn't the money or the time that was holding me back from starting my blog when I did, or before I did. It was, you know, can I do this? Like, I didn't believe in myself. And so just kind of gently calling out a lot of women, a lot of people that are like, yeah, I don't know. Like, they'd rather just be afraid. And in a year from now, they'll look back and they'll be like, you know, I should have probably done it then, but they just can't get past that fear. They don't even know it's fear. That's the thing. They just have accepted that it's a fact of life, that they're just always going to be struggling with money. They're always going to be unhappy financially. They're always going to be, you know, wishing they were doing something else, instead of just realizing that they're in control. It's kind of a victim mentality. And so I've spent quite a bit of time on my blog, even though it's a proofreading website, trying to wake women up, wake people up about who's really in charge and why they might have started thinking the way they've been thinking.
Well, it's that upper limit problem, right? I mean, it seems like everybody in life gets to a certain level of success and then they just stop and they never question it.
Yeah.
It even happens in my business. There are certain things I want to do and create, and I've accepted that they're not going to happen. But in quiet moments when I'm just thinking with myself, I say to myself, what makes you think that that's not going to happen? What actions have you taken? And the answer I have to give myself, as weird as it is to talk to yourself, but we all do it, is nothing. I haven't done a thing.
Yep.
And that's that upper limit. So there are three parts. So first of all, is it mindset transformation?
So it's called the Mindset Mastery Guide.
Mindset Mastery. Excellent. It is amazing. You're right. You communicate very well in print. And would you say a little bit about your three pillars of success?
Yeah. So I kind of touched on it without really saying what they were, but basically I really try to focus on these three things in any area, anything that I'm trying to do, is three things that just going to build your success. And if you have one or two, then it's not going to really guarantee you success. But if you can put all three in place, then you can be pretty confident that you're going to be successful. So the first one is excellence. So I mentioned that before, you know, it'll help quell your fear or grow your confidence if you know what you're doing. So excellence, just be really good at what you do. Take the time to invest in yourself, learn it. If you don't know what to do, that doesn't mean you're that way forever. You know, a year and a half ago, I didn't know how to build a WordPress website. And so I learned, you know, and that changed everything. So I became excellent at that. Optimism is the second pillar. And so that is fueled by excellence. So you can't, you can be optimistic without being very good at something, and that doesn't really fuel success at all. But if you can be excellent first, then the optimism will grow. And then persistence. So you just cannot give up. So if you got you're really good and you are optimistic about the future, you know that your skills are awesome, and you never give up at trying to get where you want to go, then success is inevitable. So
I love it. I love it when you can take a thing and break it down. And excellence, optimism, and persistence are certainly key to success. And there is something else that you wrote that, I mean, when I read this, that you wrote this, it absolutely resonated with me so much that I spent like a good 30 minutes thinking about it and writing about it. Here's the quote that you wrote: limiting beliefs masquerade as facts. And I mean, isn't that the truth, right?
Yes.
And the thing is, the very women, you and I as women, and the very women that you're talking about who think they can't have the life that they really want, that they don't have that power. I think the thing we don't realize is we're all powerful, and we've exactly created the life we already believe we can have. And we don't realize that it took power to do that. I don't know if I'm communicating this well, but
no, you definitely are. And I'm totally with you there. It's just crazy. We don't realize that the power we have is really unlimited, and that kind of your knowledge, your learning. One of my favorite things to share with people is learning changes everything. And that really becomes your fuel towards excellence, of course, which fuels your success. You know, excellence, I think, is the first ingredient. If you don't have that, then good luck. But learning, just because you don't know something now, doesn't mean you can't learn it. And but if you take the time to invest in, you know, materials, you know, courses, going back to school, whatever you need to do what you want to do, then it will absolutely change your life. But most people just kind of think to themselves that they're always going to be this, like, you know, housewife strapped for cash that depends on her husband. You know, it's just like, you don't have to be that way. You know, you don't have to be that way.
No, and sometimes deciding is the hardest part. That's where you do all the struggling, is before you decide. Once you decide, the struggle is over.
Yeah.
There's only action.
Exactly.
You know, and if you're listening to this and you doubt that you have all the power to create your life exactly the way that you want it, just look at it, an example of a time where there was a result you knew you had to produce. It was a foregone conclusion. Like, you were not going to not produce this result. And look at how you pulled out all the stops and you made the phone calls and you asked when you didn't want to ask and you clamored and put together resources to make it happen. You all have examples of that. And you don't think about it, but that's power, right? That's producing a result that wasn't going to happen unless you took action. And you can do that in any area of your life.
Yep, absolutely.
Caitlin, you're a woman on your way up. Tell us what your website's now, and I'll link to them in the show notes.
Yeah, it's proofreadanywhere.com. And I wanted to give everybody listening a free copy of the Mindset Mastery Guide. So if you go to proofreadanywhere.com/guide, you'll be able to get a copy of that and you can read it.
Awesome. We'll also link to that at hillaryhendershot.com/37. So just go there and click right over to Caitlin's site. Caitlin, I didn't tell you I was going to ask this, but you sound like someone sounds like you're always reading and you have a bunch of sources that have fueled you and your growth. Is there a resource or a book, a blog that's top of mind for you right now that you feel would support our listeners?
Yeah, actually I do. So the finance blog that I heard about, you know, the little green employees and investment and stuff, was Mr. Money Mustache. It's actually a really big blog, which many of you guys may have heard about already, but I read the entire thing.
It's a great
thing.
Blog.
Yeah, I read the entire thing start to finish and it just blew my mind. And so that's what made me want to, you know, not get a second car when we came back from our trip, our most recent trip, and just paring things down and really looking at my spending and seeing how not spending money excessively or unnecessarily could actually help me achieve freedom faster in my future life and just really change my whole mindset. I loved it.
That's awesome. And I love the little green employees metaphor so much more than that old tired story financial people always tell about how much more money you'll have if you start saving when you're 25 than if you do when you're 35, because nobody reads that until they're 40 and it only makes them feel guilty and bad and behind. So start where you are. The best day to start is today. And Caitlin, it's been awesome to interview you. Thanks for what you do. It was super inspiring. And you'll have to come back and share with us on the show when you do get to that financial freedom number, what you decide to do then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been awesome, Hillary. Thank you so much.
Awesome. If you liked this episode, I'm inviting you to join us today in the free private Profit Boss community on Facebook. You don't have to know a super secret password or handshake, but you will benefit from a warm, encouraging, and confidential community who are all there to grow and learn from each other. It's an awesome opportunity to create a classroom out of what you learn here on Profit Boss Radio and in life, and get feedback from how others in the Profit Boss community are achieving financial independence. Some of the really valuable discussions we've had recently in the Facebook group are how to make sure tax time goes super smoothly for you with no stress, what tools people are using to track their spending and make sure they're achieving their financial goals, and also what resources people are using to master their money mind. So plug in and take advantage of the collective wisdom from your fellow profit bosses. Crowdsource the answers to your most important financial questions in a confidential and supportive environment. Just go to hillaryhendershot.com/profitboss. That's hillaryhendershot.com/profitboss. And that link redirects you to a Facebook group. Just request membership and we'll let you right in. It's free. It's cool. It's awesome. It's supportive. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.